Welcome to WebAx, practical web accessibility tips. Welcome to WebAx, practical web accessibility tips. This is your host, Dennis, and this episode is the 2007 year in review as far as web accessibility. So, to start off, let's review a few podcasts that we've done over the last year that I think really stand out. And of course, you can get to all these podcasts by going to WebAx, webaxe.blogspot.com. WebAx. The first one I want to mention is Podcast 40 about CAPTCHA and accessibility. And that podcast basically talked about CAPTCHA and its effects on accessibility and why and how to make CAPTCHA accessible. And, you know, it's been a while since that podcast, and I think it's turning out, I think CAPTCHA is getting outdated, and there are other easier, more accessible ways of you know, avoiding spam bots in your online forms. One example is like a logic test where you ask the user, you know, is ice cold or hot, or what's 3 plus 7, and things like that. And that's just one of the many other options you have to secure your web forms. But anyways, with that being said, CAPTCHA is still a valuable practice. It's still being used a lot on the web, so check out Podcast 40 to learn about making CAPTCHA accessible. The next podcast I want to mention is number 45, Accessible Pop-Up Windows. And, you know, pop-up windows really, as most people know, aren't very user-friendly. They're not terribly, well, they can be accessible, as long as you do certain other things while you open a window. But this podcast basically explains all that. But more valuable than that, it starts to teach unobtrusive JavaScript techniques and using hooks or attributes to grab using the DOM and manipulating your web page so that you could add behavior and stuff and then thus enter the progressive enhancement world. Podcast number 47, Alternative Text in Detail. That might sound plain and boring and old school, but, you know, that is one of the most important things still on the web, is creating alternative text for non-textual elements. So I think that podcast is very important, and it covers all different aspects of alternative text and how to use it. And it's something that a lot of, you know, websites still don't do very well. The next WebAx podcast I want to mention is Podcast 50, Analysis of WCAG 2.0. And that is somewhat outdated now because the W3C has put out another revision recently of the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, and hopefully 2.0 will be released sometime soon in 2008. So, yeah, so that podcast just kind of goes through that version of the standards, but there's some really good links in there, so if you want to check out the latest version of WCAG 2.0 or, you know, do some other investigation, then check out Podcast 50. Podcast 51, Option Groups, the Opt Group tag. I just wanted to point that out real fast because that's a neat, not a trick, but that's just a neat thing to do for your drop-down select form fields. If you have a lot of selections in there and just, and I don't see this very often, but when you see it, it really is cool and it's helpful and it's easy. And that's to help, you know, group your selections with the opt group tag, just kind of grouping your selections into different categories. Podcast 52, that's all about the rel attribute, the relationship attribute, which is, I think, is just awesome. It's one of my favorite little attributes. And Ross and I, in discussing it, we just came up with more and more reasons why or how you can use it. It's very semantic. Obviously, you're describing the relationship of whatever tag you're marking, usually an anchor. And you could use that, like I mentioned before, as like a hook for doing DOM scripting. But it's also used for other things, such as micro formats, as Paul Boag would tell you. So check out Podcast 52, the rel attribute. Podcast 55, the WCAG Samurai. That was a very fun podcast, and Ross and I discussed Joe Clark's errata to the WCAG 1.0. So basically, and I think that's really important. He did a really good job. So instead of waiting for the on and on, hopefully soon the wait will be over, like I said. But we've been waiting a lot of, 10 years now for the next version of the W3C's WCAG 2.0, the next version of the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines 1.0. So the Samurai is a group led by Joe Clark that has created an addendum or errata to kind of modify or fix WCAG 1.0 so that there's actually a modern, recent working version of it. So it's really good. That's a great podcast, so I highly recommend that one. WebAx Podcast 55, the WCAG Samurai. The last podcast I want to mention was in September, Podcast 56, the WebAx 2-year anniversary. And I got some great feedback from some web accessibility experts for that podcast, Mark McKay, Joe Dolson, Roger Johansson, Patrick Lauk, Jared Smith, and Ross Johnson all contributed audio, well, not all audio, but most of them contributed audio or made some kind of contribution to that 2-year anniversary podcast. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And if you go to that blog entry on WebAx, you could not only can you obviously download that podcast, but there's references to other to past interviews on WebAx listed in that that podcast blog post. So you could get links to the WebAx interviews with Christian Heilman, Mike Cherum, Patrick Lauk, Andrew Kirkpatrick, Paul Boag, Jared Smith. So check it out. Okay, cool. So now I'd like to go on and do a fairly quick review of the news in web accessibility over the year 2007. WebAx. Okay, so in reviewing the news, the first thing I wanted to mention is the new design. In mid-January last year, WebAx created the WebAx website went to a new look with the current design, which is completely accessible, of course. If you have any comments or suggestions for the site, then go ahead and send them to us. Send that to me at webax@gmail.com. Next, selecting an accessible CMS. this was a blog entry with a link to an excellent article from Juicy Studio about selecting a web-accessible CMS, content management system, because there are lots of CMSs out there, and most of them don't take accessibility very seriously. So this is a great article to check out if you need to use a CMS or you'd like to use a CMS and you want to maintain an accessible website. Next, WebX was named one of the top five design podcasts by Dustin Brewer. So he listed, let's see, BOAC World, .NET Magazine, Photoshop TV, Rookie Designer, and WebX. So thanks, Dustin. And a major, more newsy type development was in May, the WCAG 2.0 documents was updated and opened for review. And those were due the 29th of June. Another good blog entry was one of the many by Mike Cherum at Greenbeast, Avoiding Extreme Accessibility. And he mentions several things that people do that you should not do in, you know, too much or overdoing the accessibility effort, and that is has to do with the use of access keys, a tab index, and like instructions for instructions, semantic tag-itis, he lists. So yeah, check that one out. It's a good one. Another good news item is in June, a lawyer warns that PDFs fail on accessibility in the UK. That made the news on ZDNet UK, and that is a big issue on the internet, and that's a big guideline for accessibility as well as usability. PDFs, if you're going to put that on the website, should be accessible if your website is supposed to be accessible. And if you're not sure how to do that, there's a podcast on WebX specifically on how to do that. So just type in Adobe Acrobat or whatever in the search in WebX and you'll find it. But another issue is it kind of has to do with accessibility and usability too. If you use PDFs on a website, it should only be for like supplemental, you know, non-critical information. All the information you need to know should be just in regular HTML on your website, and then the extra, you know, fancier supplemental fluffy information can be in the PDFs. That's the general rule. I don't think it's really, you know, followed very closely, but take it as you will. Here's a good one. Petition asks Yahoo to fix their CAPTCHA. So, kind of going back to what we talked about before, Yahoo apparently, they did not provide an accessible CAPTCHA when creating Yahoo accounts. And the Blind Access Journal, I'm not sure if they're the ones that created it or not, but there is a petition. It's still active, I believe, on petitiononline.com, which is a neat website in itself. But there's a petition created there to make Yahoo's CAPTCHA accessible. And last, but certainly not least, a California court made a ruling against Target in the NFB, National Federation of the Blind, versus Target Web Accessibility lawsuit. And basically what happened was the judge certified the class action suit and dismissed almost all objections by Target. So the lawsuit will continue to proceed, no like final decision has yet been made though. Nonetheless, it was a big step in the fight and legality towards web accessibility, especially in the United States, where, you know, there is no law, just federal law for like federally funded websites, we all know as Section 508. So that's it. That's the WebX Web Accessibility Podcast and News in Review for the year 2007. This is Dennis. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next year. The WebAxe blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com. webaxe.blogspot.com. Email webaxe@gmail.com. webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebAxe is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.